It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone. God bless you. It's a wonderful day. It is Thursday, the 20th of July, and we are happy, and we have a little sadness. Also, we have some wonderful people that are here. We haven't made a big shado about it, but we're in a wellness retreat, and we're seeing bags of medication no longer being needed, and people feeling better, and everything regulating blood pressures, blood sugars, those kinds of things. So God is good, and we're happy to be awake and alive today, and we'll be sad to see some of our new family members go. But God is good, and we thank God for this ministry and work that he's called us all to do, because we're all a part of this ministry and work, my friends. It's time for our opening prayer. My wife, Undreamed Of, will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to come together for worship. We thank you for your loving watch care throughout the night. And now as we begin to open your word, we pray for your spirit to come and teach us and feed us this morning. Help us, Lord, always to grow in grace and wisdom as you anoint the words of our pastor and fill them with your spirit. This is asked and prayed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song, brothers and sisters, is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about
it's about time.
Amen. The title of our message this morning, brothers and sisters, and this is going to be worship and wellness. We'll be studying Exodus chapters 7 and 8. Exodus chapters 7 and 8. And as we study these chapters, brothers and sisters, we're going to see that the Bible is a fabric, intricately webbed, intricately weaved in truth. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for this day. We thank you for allowing us to teach the truth. We ask that you would help us, that we will be willing to hear the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, my brothers and sisters, this is a message that God wants us to hear today. And we're going to dig right in. Give me just one second to find a scripture. Okay. All right, friends. We are going to dig right in. Let my people go. We're going to talk about the blood, the frogs, the lice, and the flies. Before we dig into that, I want to say this to you because I began by saying that the Bible is this beautiful fabric of truth interwoven so that Genesis agrees with Revelation and Exodus agrees with Jude and Malachi agrees with 1 Corinthians. It's all one web of truth. God is not the author of confusion. I want to read a scripture to you, for it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So the Bible tells us that as we study, we must compare spiritual things with spirituals. That's why the Bible can be compared to the Bible. Scriptures in the Bible can be compared to other scriptures in the Bible. And you will find, brothers and sisters, mysteries that you may not have understood in the book of Exodus are explained in the book of Mark, and mysteries you might not understood in the book of Mark are explained in the book of Exodus. And you'll also find that prophecies that people have a hard time understanding are sometimes even understood by simple stories that God has given us in the Word of God. Okay, so this is very, very important that we understand these things. Let's read together Exodus 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Now, we have to understand God meets people where they are. God wasn't trying to say that Moses was God. And unfortunately, a lot of ministers, whether they consider themselves reverends, pastors, bishops, and you should not call any man reverend, by the way. The Bible says holy and reverend is his name, not my name, not anybody else's name, no other preacher's name. So if you are a preacher listening, you should ask your congregation not to call you reverend, because that is taking the place of God, my friends. Going further, it says, I have made thee a god unto Pharaoh. God understood that Pharaoh, just like many of us, we want to see something. We want to see God. We want to see, faith is believing. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You see, faith is believing that God's word is true, that God will do what he says he will do. And so, but Pharaoh wasn't there yet. So God says, I'm going to symbolize God to Pharaoh through you, and it's going to look like Aaron is your prophet, so we can reach Pharaoh where he is. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh that he send the children of Israel out of his land. Brothers and sisters, if preachers would just follow that simple lesson, don't say things that God has not said. Don't teach things that God has not taught. Don't promote things that God has not endorsed. Oh, my friends, when we stand before people, all of us, but especially those in the gospel ministry charged with preaching the word on a full-time basis, we are required to teach the word of God in the spirit of God, okay? We are to not be rude and rough and rash. We are to be kind and considerate and loving, but we must tell the truth. Why? Because the warning message must go out because souls will be lost because they are deceived. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So we can't be, as the Bible calls some preachers, dumb dogs that will not bark. That is what we have, my brothers and sisters, when we compromise the truth. And we cannot do that because we love you. And so I like this. God commanded Moses to speak everything he commanded. That's important. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. My brothers and sisters, when you read about God hardening Pharaoh's heart, every time you see that word, it is in connection with miracles that God works in behalf of his people. So when God hardened, and we're going to see as we study this, Pharaoh hardened his own heart. Why is it that God hardened his heart? Because God brought him to the decision. But Pharaoh didn't have to choose the wrong thing. God will harden your heart by allowing circumstances and miracles in your life so that you can be brought to a decision. We have to decide to follow Jesus. That song says, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. There's a song in that verse. There's a verse in that song, rather, that says, though no one join me, still I will follow. You have to have that mindset, brothers and sisters, because the world, the majority in the world, even in the world in the church, because the world has joined the church, brothers and sisters, they will lead you astray. All right, though none go with me, still I will follow. And it goes on to say, but Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. First of all, I want to say God calls his people his army. I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, you're not just in this world just as a namby-pamby individual just floating along. You are at war. There is a war going on. The war started in heaven. The Bible says so in Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. It says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Then it says, the devil was cast down in that chapter to the earth. And then it says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. The war was transferred to the earth, and you are a soldier. The question is, are you going to commit treason and turn against God by being disobedient and following the ways of the devil, my friend? You are a spy. When you say, okay, I will follow God, but you don't follow him all the way, friend, you're a double agent. The Bible says do not be double-minded. We have to be 100% all the way with God, my friend, and that's what God wants from us. Oh, brothers and sisters, let's pray for one another that the Holy Spirit will come and abide in our hearts today. All right, let's read on. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth mine hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. Verse 6 of chapter 7. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them. So did they. Friends, are you doing what the Lord commands you? Are you, start with the Ten Commandments. Are you keeping all of God's Ten Commandments? Now, please understand, brothers and sisters, it starts with keeping the Sabbath. But we're going to learn that there's more to Sunday keeping than beats the eye. We're going to learn that today, and I want you to keep your heart open because God wants to speak to your heart today. But make sure it's from God. Study it for yourself. We're going to be sharing some things with you. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them. so did they. And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83 years old, when they spake unto Pharaoh. These are 80 and 83-year-old men talking to Pharaoh. And the Lord, and that's a powerful endorsement of the health message of the Lord. Friends, Moses was just as strong in his 80s as he was in his 20s and 30s, the Bible tells us, at a later time. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for you, then shalt thou say unto Aaron, take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did as the Lord had commanded. You see, God knows everything. He knows what Pharaoh is going to say. So when we think that God is outsmarted by the devil, when we see the devil doing his thing, God already knew the devil's moves before the devil even knew his own moves, brothers and sisters. And so we just need to stay with God. He does not always reveal to us everything the devil is going to do, but he tells us what we need to know. So in this case, he said, when Pharaoh asks you, this is what you do. But God didn't tell him what's going to happen next, because the magicians did something that would have scared most of us. Let's see what happened, brothers and sisters. The Bible says, and Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantment. Can you imagine Moses and Aaron? They throw down their thing and it becomes a serpent. That's what God said it would happen. But then to their shock and horror, the magicians throw down theirs. Now all these snakes are just writhing around the room. Moses and Aaron were like, Lord, it's in your hands. You see, brothers and sisters, this is how the faith walk goes. We pray as though everything depends on God, and then we work as though everything depends on us. What was in their hand was the rod. God told them to cast it down. When that rod became a snake, there was nothing else they could do. When the magicians have those devilish apparitions of snakes, guess what happened? Brothers and sisters, Moses and Aaron just had to whisper a prayer. There's a song that says, whisper a prayer in the morning, whisper a prayer at noon, whisper a prayer in the evening, 'twill keep your heart in tune. You know, we need to pray. Sometimes when we're talking to people, we need to be sending up prayers, okay? Sending up prayers. Lord, what should I say? Lord, how do I answer? And then wait for an answer. And sometimes God doesn't get you one. Sometimes God just wants you to be quiet. And sometimes that's the best answer, brothers and sisters. And so, my friends, we need to understand that this is a faith walk. God doesn't show us everything. He tells us what we need to know. And then even Moses and Aaron were shocked at seeing all those snakes. But watch this. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rod. So they saw their rod just slurping up all the other snakes. And then he was able to pick up his rod again and then stand and look at Pharaoh. And he hardened Pharaoh's heart that he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuses to let the people go. So even though it said God hardened his heart, that's because God did a miracle and it brought Pharaoh to a point of decision. Pharaoh hardened his own heart, it says. Why? Because he refused to do what God had asked in letting the people go. Get thee unto Pharaoh, verse 15, in the morning. Lo, he goeth out unto the water, and thou shalt stand by the river's brink, against he come. And the rod which was turned to a serpent shalt thou take in thine hand. You know, some of us know a little bit about what's going to happen in the end of time. We know about end time events, and we know that it's better to live in the country than in the city. And we understand what's going to happen to the money, because it's going to be a cashless society and a digital type of currency, so that everybody can be monitored and everybody can be controlled. We know all these things, but brothers and sisters, just understand, God knows every move the devil's going to make. God knew Pharaoh the next day at a certain time was going to go out to the river. God knows what the president of the United States is going to do. God knows, let's use a thing that's been on the news. God knows who dropped that bag of cocaine in the White House, okay? God knew. God knows. God knew everything that was behind the scenes with the riot in January 6th. God knew and knows what was really behind the whole Black Lives Matter movement, brothers and sisters. And there's things that we have learned, but God knew ahead of time. We serve a God who knows, and that's why we should obey him, because he loves us and he will help us be where we ought to be. And thou shalt say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath sent me unto thee, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. Brothers and sisters, I want to address this part of the message to preachers. Preachers who are not teaching 100% Bible truth, you need to let God's people go. You are like Pharaoh holding them in bondage. You see, truth is liberty. The Son shall set you free. You shall be free indeed. If the Son, therefore, shall set you free, the Bible says, you shall be free indeed. Well, who is the Son? I am the way, the truth, Jesus said, and the life. So when we teach people errors that the Bible condemns, the Bible does not condemn sun worship, okay? You say, the sun worship, what is that? I'll show it to you, brothers and sisters. Go to the book of Ezekiel chapter 8. We're going to go to Ezekiel chapter 8, then we'll come back to verse 17 of Exodus. Ezekiel chapter 8. And we're looking at verse 15. Notice what it says. Then said he unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. And by the way, brothers and sisters, he was shown professed people of God, okay? You can look up earlier to see that. If you go to the earlier part, look, for example, in verse 7, and he brought me to the door of the court. That's the court of the church, okay? If you go to verse 6, and he said furthermore unto me, son of man, seest thou what they do, even the great abominations that the house of Israel committeth here? So this is talking about, this is referring to professed people of God, okay? And let's see what they did. Going back now to verse 15, it says, let's start with verse 15. Then said he unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about five and twenty men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord, and their faces toward the east, and they worshiped the sun toward the east. So here we see God's professed people worshiping the sun. Brothers and sisters, sun worship was pagan worship, and pagans worshiped on the first day of the week, and that's why it gets the name Sunday. So when you are worshiping on Sunday, now you didn't know it, so God winks at your ignorance, but when you are worshiping on the Sunday, the Roman Catholic Church took that day and made it the sacred day of worship for the people of God. It's not sacred. Now, we worship on Sunday. We have worship 365 days a year on this broadcast, but it is not the special day set aside for worship where you put on your Sunday best, okay, where you put on your nice hats and you dress up nice and you come before the Lord in worship. That's what they did in sun worship, brothers and sisters, and God called it an abomination. We are not supposed to make that our special day, and we didn't do that on the Lord's day, which is Sabbath. Now you say, well, the Sabbath is not the Lord's day. The Lord's day is Sunday. My brothers and sisters, let's go to Mark chapter. Let me just find it a different way so that I can do it a little faster. All right, brothers and sisters, we are going in the Bible to Mark chapter 2, verse 27 and 28. It says, and he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Friends, it never said Jesus is Lord of Sunday. Sunday worship was the pagan satanic worship, and they worshiped the sun on the first day of the week. the Roman Catholic Church, when it took over Christianity and put itself in place of God, that's why it's Antichrist. It's in place of Christ. That's what Antichrist means. They took pagan customs and they put Christian clothing on them. So they took the sun worship of Babylon. They took the sun worship of the occult. They took the sun worship of Satan worshipers. And they said, we're just going to Christianize it and make that the official day of worship. And so, my brothers and sisters, people are worshiping the sun. Now, you didn't know it before, so God excuses your sin. The Bible tells us that in the book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 11, it says that God will, it says, for these, no, 1730, it says that at the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Okay, so God wants us to repent. And he wants us to worship on the day that he set aside for holy worship. And I'm here to talk to pastors who are deceiving people, brothers and sisters. Let my people go. Let them go. And you see, God wants God's people to be let go that they might worship God in a proper way. You see, this whole concept of Egypt, they had to come out of Egypt. We have to leave the areas where false worship, where error is being taught. Why couldn't they just serve God in Egypt? How come they couldn't just worship God in Egypt? God had them leave Egypt because he had to symbolize we have to come out. Now, some of you who would say, well, I don't have to come out of my Sunday church, or I don't have to come out of my club, or out of my Masonic lodge. But you know, brothers and sisters, Why then does a person who starts loving the Lord have to come out of a club? Can't they serve God in the club where there's sleazily dressed women and alcohol being poured out at will and people making plans to do illicit things and where there's a lot of salacious conversation and all of these types of things? Why do they have to come out of the club, brothers and sisters? Why does a person have to come out of a gang? What if they say, I give my heart to God, but I'm not going to come out of the gang. I'm going to stay in the gang. You see, brothers and sisters, do you see how that doesn't make any sense? And so wherever error is taught, you've got to come out. Now, if God sends you on occasion to go, let it be clear that God sent you for a reason, but that being your regular, that's like staying in a club when you've given your heart to God. That's like staying in a gang when you've given your heart to God, my friend. There is error there. Sun worship is there. And we're going to see something else. There's something called spiritualism that is taught in those churches too. And spiritualism is another form of satanic worship, brothers and sisters. And it came into Christianity through the Roman Catholic Church. Let's keep reading. All right, let's go back now to Exodus chapter 7. All right. So again, verse 16, let my people go that they may serve me in the wilderness, and behold, hitherto thou wouldest not hear. Thus saith the Lord, in this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in my hand upon the waters that are in the river, and they shall be turned into blood. You see, brothers and sisters, God is going to use plagues. And here's the point. This is an example. God uses this story to help us understand what's going to happen in the last days, because there's going to be plagues, and the plagues will come upon those who continue to disobey of thus saith the Lord. You will not go to heaven unless you are obedient to a thus saith the Lord. And you will not go to heaven if you continue, once God helps you understand some things, in sun worship, my friends. And the fish that is in the river shall die, and the river shall stink, and the Egyptians shall loathe to drink the water of the river. And the Lord spake unto Moses, say unto Aaron, take thy rod and stretch out thine hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, upon their rivers, and upon their ponds, and upon their pools of water, that they may become blood. that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and vessels of stone. And Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded, and he lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh and the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood, and the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river. And there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantment. Brothers and sisters, there is something satanic. It's called the occult. And it's called spiritualism. And it is where mankind claims to have supernatural power. And that lie was told to Eve in the Garden of Eden when the devil said, you will be as gods. You see, knowing good and evil. Even that knowledge of good and evil is what the psychics claim to have. Supernatural knowledge of the future, of hidden things. Even law enforcement is going to psychics to supposedly solve murder crimes because the spirits of the dead. But the Bible teaches that when you die, you are 100% dead. It says his breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. And that very day, his thoughts perish, brothers and sisters. You know, the Bible says the dead praise not the Lord in Psalm 6:5, Psalm 115:17 also. This theory that when we die, we go straight to heaven. So funerals used to be called funerals. Now they're called home goings. That is a lie from the pit of hell, brothers and sisters, because it promotes spiritualism. And that's why people feel like they can communicate with their dead husband and their dead wife. That's what you go to the occult to do. That's not your dead wife or your dead husband or your dead mother. The bottom line is it's an evil spirit. And when you communicate with them, you are bringing evil spirits in your house. And you wonder why you're so sick. And you wonder why there's so much trouble. And you wonder why you get depressed. Because you've allowed spirits to come into your house that are trying to wipe you out. You need to say, Lord, forgive me, and beg God to come in and flush out those evil spirits. Maybe you didn't know, but now you know. God will wink at your ignorance, brothers and sisters. Get those Ouija boards out of your house. Get those tarot cards out of your house. Stop going to those seances and listening and watching shows that promote the psychics of the world. That's evil, brothers and sisters, and God is not in it. That's what they did in Egypt. The devil does have supernatural power, but he's not more powerful than God. He's more powerful than you without God, though, and you are no match for him, my friend. That's why you have to be humble and dependent upon God. But he said, them that honor me, I will honor. We have to obey through the power of God the things that God has told us to do. And let me tell you something, brothers and sisters, while the Sabbath is important, it is just as important to be kind. We are commanded to be kind. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. And some people, they focus so much on the Sabbath, and they got a mean spirit. Oh, brothers and sisters, you are just, if you are a mean-spirited Sabbath keeper, you are just as evil as a person who refuses to keep the Sabbath day holy. All of God's commandments are important. It's just that the Sabbath tests your loyalty to God in ways that other commandments don't. In other words, there's going to be a big test. The devil wants to be like the Most High. The Bible says that in Isaiah 14:14. So what is the Most High like? David says the Most High in the book of Psalms chapter 5. He said, give ear to my word, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. So the Most High is King of kings, God of gods. Kings make laws. You can read all about that in the book of Daniel and the book of Esther. The kings made laws. God required worship, friends. You can read that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So what is the one law that, what is the one commandment in the Ten Commandments where it is part of the law, because it's part of the Ten Commandments, that requires worship? The only one is the Sabbath. That's why the devil, he wants to be like the Most High. That's why he has attacked the Sabbath by bringing in a counterfeit, sun worship, my friends, the sun worship counterfeit. Write these scriptures down. Write Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 15 and 16, and read all the chapter of Ezekiel 8, and you will see that it's talking to God's people, my friends. God is calling his people out of Babylon. We'll get to that in just a moment. And the Egyptians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Neither did he hearken unto them, as the Lord said. So they were able to take a little bit of the water that they found that wasn't tainted and turn it into blood, and that hardened Pharaoh's heart. And Pharaoh turned and went into his house, neither did he set his heart to this also. And all the Egyptians digged round about the river for water to drink, for they could not drink of the water of the river. And 7 days were fulfilled after that the Lord had smitten the river. And now, brothers and sisters, we're in Exodus chapter 8. And the Lord spake unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs. This is very important, brothers and sisters. There's some significance to this frog. And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house, and into thy bedchamber, and upon thy bed, and into the house of thy servants, and upon thy people, and into the oven, and into the kneading troughs, and the frog shall come up both on thee, and upon thy people, and upon all thy servants. And the Lord spake unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come upon the land. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantment, and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. Now, brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. We have the plague of blood. We have the plague of frogs. You will find, as we read on, that was the last plague that the satanic magicians could emulate. They could copy that plague. Every other plague after the frogs, they could not. Why is that important? Because let's go to the book of Revelation, and I'll show you why. We're coming back. We'll come back to verse 8, but now we're in the book of Revelation, chapter 8, verse 8. But now we're in the book of Revelation, and we're in Revelation chapter 16, brothers and sisters, and we're going to be looking at verse 13 of Revelation chapter 16. Notice what the Bible says. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come up out of the mouth of the dragon, that's Satan, out of the mouth of the beast, that's the Roman Catholic Church, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, that is the Sunday churches, and even some Sabbath-keeping churches that are not keeping all of God's commandments, friends, but it's apostate Protestantism. Protestantism says the Bible and the Bible alone is our rule of faith and practice, and we will only do what is in the Bible. So a false prophet would say, no, tradition is above the Bible. So God likens that in this prophecy to the dragon, which is Satan. The Bible tells us that in Revelation 12. The beast, which is the Roman Catholic Church, the Bible tells us that in Revelation 13. And the false prophet, brothers and sisters, you see, the beast was a whore, and he had harlot daughters. And so these harlot daughters are the apostate Protestants, people who claim to be Protestants but are not teaching all the truth, my friends. And God is saying he saw unclean spirits like frogs coming out of their mouth. You see, frogs was the last plague that they could counterfeit, okay? And so notice what it says, for they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and to the whole world to gather to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Brothers and sisters, just because a Sunday preacher tells you to put your handkerchief on I don't care if Sunday or Sabbath preacher, if they tell you to put your handkerchief on a TV and you'll get blessed, and you listen to what they teach, you listen to what their spirit is, because you don't need to be putting your handkerchiefs on the TV or whatever they do these days to try to get a blessing. God will bless you just because you ask for the blessing, my friend. And if they are not teaching all of the truth, we have compromise, creeping compromise in the church, afraid to speak about LGBT topics because we don't want to lose government money for our church hospitals. Shame on you. You shouldn't have gotten government money for your hospitals. For the Lord says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Brothers and sisters, through natural remedies, we've seen cancer reverse, arthritis reverse, diabetes reverse, hypertension reverse, lupus reverse. Friends, and I've never seen these diseases reverse from drug medication. Never. Because if they reverse, you wouldn't need the drug. I'm not saying I've not seen symptoms get better, but you stop taking that medication and then see what happens. Okay? So I am here to tell you that God is calling us, friends, to get away from error, and we are not to follow those unclean spirits like frogs, okay? because they came out of the mouth of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. Oh, my friends, let me share something else with you about frogs. If you go to the book of Isaiah 8:19, and when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? You see, frogs, you hear them at nighttime. That's that peeping and muttering sound in the night season. Those are frogs that you hear out in nature. And it's not that the frog is bad. It's just that it symbolizes spiritualism, okay? And because of the sound that they make. And so we need to understand God used this symbolism, and he made frogs in Egypt because that was the last that they could imitate, showing that God has allowed them to continue doing spiritualism, but the devil is not as strong as God, and God wants us to follow truth. He's showing us that through spiritualism they will deceive because it involves miraculous things that take place. The devil can work miracles. We just read it, my friends. So let's stay faithful to God, my friends. All right, let's go back now to the book of Exodus, chapter 8. And we're looking at verse 8. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me, when shall I entreat for thee and for thy servant and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only? And he said, tomorrow. See, God wanted Pharaoh to understand it really is God. This is not happen chance. This is not magic. So God said to Pharaoh, you tell me when. Moses said to Pharaoh, you tell me when you want them gone. And therefore, if Pharaoh tell tomorrow, then I'll, if he said tomorrow, then I'll entreat God. And that's exactly when the frogs left. And he said tomorrow, and he said, be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. And the frogs shall depart from thee and from thy houses and from thy servants and from thy people. They shall remain in the river only. And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh. And Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses of the villages and out of the fields. And they gathered them together up on heaps, and the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. So again, he didn't say the Lord hardened his heart. Pharaoh hardened his heart, okay? And the Lord, his own heart. And the Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so, for Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast. And all the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice upon man and upon beast. Brothers and sisters, they could not duplicate or counterfeit any others except frogs, showing that through spiritualism, because frogs are those things that peep and mutter in the night season, and therefore that's the sound often that the Bible speaks about, that these wizards and witches do. They have the sound of frogs, and that's why God is trying to tell us stay away from spiritualism. All right, and we have spiritualism in the church when we teach that when you die, you go straight to heaven. That means you're still alive. That means there's life after death without a resurrection. That's a lie, brothers and sisters. And therefore, it sets the foundation of spiritualism, and you need to get away from it. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth to the water, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. Else, if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee and upon the servants and upon thy people and into the houses. And the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground wherein they are. And watch this. This is talking about coming out of Egypt, coming out of Babylon, coming away. Watch this. God puts a difference. And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there. to the end thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth, and I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be. Brothers and sisters, God does want us to separate from the world. Now, does that mean we stick our nose up and say we're better? No, you still minister to the people of the world, but you come out of Masonic lodges. You come out of these other spiritualistic secret societies. You come out of churches that are promoting, without realizing it, sun worship, because that's what it, how it originated, friends. If this day originated as a day of sun worship, why would you worship on that day as your special day of worship? And I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow this shall the sign be. And the Lord did so. And there came a grievous swarm of flies into the house of Pharaoh and into his servants' houses and into the land of Egypt. And the land was corrupted by reason of the swarm of flies. And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses said, it is not meet so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of Egyptians before their eyes, and they will not, and will they not stone us? You see, Pharaoh said, okay, go ahead, stay here, and then go ahead and do your worship. God said, no, get out of there to do worship. Friends, these are powerful principles. They could not serve God in that location. They had to go away. And that's important. So I want to share some things with you, brothers and sisters, regarding this. Let me take you, this is, let me see, we have verse 26, and we've got all the way to verse 32. Let me just pause here and let me take you to some scriptures. If we go to the book of Revelation, you go to Revelation chapter 14, brothers and sisters. The Bible says this in verse 8, and there followed another angel saying, and you have to understand there's context here. We don't have time to go into all of it, but this is talking about coming out of false worship. It says, and there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, it's fallen. That great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. So God is telling us that the false churches, there came a point in time where churches in the early 1800s, they began a fall because they would not stay and remain in the truth. You know, God winked at the ignorance, but now he commanded them to repent, and they would not, and they were world-loving, and they should have, let me stop here a second. They would not hear of thus saith the Lord. So what happened is that God called his people out of those churches, okay? Now, this fall of Babylon is not the Roman Catholic Church, because they had been in a fallen state for centuries. This is a more modern fall that took place in the 1800s, where God rejected the Protestant churches because they would not continue in a thus saith the Lord. And eventually God revealed the Sabbath to some of them, and only those who stayed with the Sabbath were considered God's special people, brothers and sisters. Now, again, God winks at our ignorance. We didn't know. But let me share with you another scripture, brothers and sisters. If we go now to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 18, look at verse 8, chapter 18. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage for every unclean and hateful bird. Why? For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings have committed fornication with her. Now, what you see, brothers and sisters, you see is these churches going to try to influence the state, the kings of the earth committing fornication, going to bed with this whore, so to speak, okay, because that's who she was. Okay, and they've committed fornication with her. God is showing that when we disobey his principles and we're not following and we're not teaching the truth, he looks at us as though we were a prostitute, a whore, and he pictures us going to bed, because we often do that to be like the world, to make sure we're in good standing, good and regular standing, and in harmony with the Democratic Party or the Republican Party or whatever. And God is trying to tell us that that's not what he's all about. He wants truth, my friend. And so he said, you've committed fornication with her. But let's see what else he says in verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. That's a direct connection to Egypt. If the children of Israel had not stayed in Goshen, if they had gone over to Egypt, the plagues would have fallen on them. This shows that your location is important to God. He wants you to come out of areas and churches that are teaching false teachings, brothers and sisters. Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins and receive not of her plagues. In other words, God is going to pour out the plagues on those who are disobedient. He's going to pour out the plagues on preachers that know the Sabbath is the truth but are not teaching the truth. He is going to pour out plagues on preachers that are constantly telling people it's all right to eat pork and other things, and they know that the Bible does not support such teaching. He's going to pour out his plagues upon those who say that when you die or your mother dies or your daddy dies, that they're up there in heaven and they're all that. They're promoting life after death, which is the foundation of Satanism, which is called the occult, brothers and sisters, because they claim to have power from the spirits of the dead. And we brought that into the churches. Come out of those churches because you're being influenced by that false teaching. That's what God is telling us. And we wouldn't fully understand these words in Revelation unless we understood what's happening in Exodus. They could not serve God in Egypt. They had to leave. Pharaoh said, okay, you want to worship God? Just worship him. Do your thing. Keep your Sabbath, whatever. No, we've got to get out of here. Because if we stay in here, you all are teaching some other stuff. God says, come out of her, my people. And I'm here to tell you, friends, we can't serve God in Egypt. That's why God is calling us out. Now, when you have no choice, if you are bound, you are a chain gang, you know, that's a different story. God will be with you, brothers and sisters, because you don't have a choice. But when you have a choice as to where you can be, my friends, I want to say this, don't you think for 1 minute you're going to jail, okay, just because I said something about jail. I rebuke Satan in the name of Jesus. I am here to tell you, brothers and sisters, that if God wants us to do that and it will glorify his name, that's where we'll be. But until then, he keeps us free, my brothers and sisters, to do his work. So we want to understand that God has a plan for our lives. All right, let's go back to Exodus chapter 8. Now we're in verse 25, and Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, go ye sacrifice to your God in the land. Moses said, it is not meet to do so, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. We already read that verse. Let's look at verse 28. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go far away. Entreat for me. And Moses said, behold, I go out from thee, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people tomorrow. But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully anymore, and in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. And Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord, and the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and he removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh and from his servants and from his people, and there remained not one. And Pharaoh hardened his heart, it says. And Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also. Neither would he let the people go. Friends, you don't want to be stubborn like Pharaoh. That's a satanic trait. Some of us are very stubborn people. We are, brothers and sisters. It's my way or the highway. I'm here to tell you that you've got to have a soft heart if you want to be saved. You've got to have a heart of love if you want to be saved. You can't be stubborn and refuse to hear what God wants you to hear and refuse to do what God wants you to do. Oh, friends, that will get you into God's disfavor so fast. God is trying to tell us we've got to get out of Egypt. Plagues are coming, and plagues are coming on this world, brothers and sisters, to those who remain in wrongdoing. The seven last plagues are going to come upon the disobedient. God's people will be separated from them. We've got to get with God and be with his people, brothers and sisters, where we hear truth all the time. It's not good enough to hear the truth and then you go hear error. It will affect you. God doesn't want you to be affected by error because error leads to bondage, my dear friend. Oh, won't you follow Jesus today and give him your heart? Go with God and stay with God and worship with his people that are worshiping God, not worshiping the sun god with Christian clothes on it, brothers and sisters, because that's what God prophesied in Ezekiel. He saw his people turning their backs and worshiping the sun. That's what he saw in prophetic vision, and that's exactly what we have today. God's people who claim to follow the Bible are worshiping on the pagan day of worship, my friends. Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 15 and 16. God prophesied it. His prophecies come true, and he said, come out of her that you aren't receiving eventually the plagues that are going to come and that you're not taking part in that sin. See, when we just go for no reason, that God hadn't compelled us to go, we are partaking in the sin. That's what the Bible said, and it says, be not partakers of her sin and receive not of her plagues. A partaker is one who takes part, you see. So if I say, oh, I'm not doing all the evil stuff, I'm just going to hang in this white supremacy club that kills people of color, but I'm not going to do any shooting, I'm just going to go to the meetings. What does that sound like, brothers and sisters? What does that sound like? You're still complicit. You're still taking part. Your warm body is still warming up the chair, and you're showing your support by being there. You're saying this is the will of God by being there, and God is trying to help us understand God is calling his people away from falsity in every respect. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the truth. We pray that as we've listened to this message, we pray that we will hear. We see you made a difference between Goshen and Egypt, and eventually you stopped allowing the plagues to come to Goshen, showing that your people were to be separated. And then you called for Pharaoh, calling for preachers who have manipulative control over people to let my people go. Oh, Father, remove from us the shackles from our eyes that we might see. Open our eyes that we may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hand the wonderful key that shall unlock and set me free silently. Now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open mine eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. Oh, bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. That's our closing prayer, brothers and sisters. It's pretty much time to close out on the broadcast. May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you and give you peace. We're just going to go ahead and close out with that based on the time, and we'll have our closing song at this time. But he shall receive a hundredfold. Now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life. Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God will open ways before us now undreamed of.
I will trust in the Lord.